Welcome to Reinventing Solidarity, a podcast of the journal New Labor Forum at the School of Labor and Urban Studies at the City University of New York. My name is Micah Utrecht, podcast host and editor-at-large at New Labor Forum. Reinventing Solidarity features scholars, activists, and artists on the front lines of the working class movement, working to create a radically different world, one with solidarity, equality, and sustainability at its heart. One of the most urgent issues for workers in New York City and across the United States today is the crisis in affordable childcare. As it does on numerous social welfare programs, the U.S. lags behind nearly every other wealthy country in the world in public provision of affordable childcare programs. The result is a crushing expense for working class families throughout the country. Now, New York City has historically stood apart from much of the country in this regard, most recently through the establishment of universal pre-K and 3K programs under Mayor Bill de Blasio. But recent budget cuts under Mayor Eric Adams have put that system in severe jeopardy. Last year, Bloomberg Businessweek ran the headline, "Eric Adams Starves NYC's Universal Pre-K Program." And in early 2024, the mayor announced an additional $170 million in cuts to the city's pre-kindergarten program, drawing protests from parents. The future of that program is up in the air. But for two decades, one program, backed by a coalition of labor unions, has worked to provide affordable childcare for working parents for children up to age 13, with an aim to make enrollment easy. It's a program backed by the state of New York called the Child Care Facilitated Enrollment Project. To discuss the project, I spoke to Janella Hines and Assemblyman Andrew Hevesi. Ms. Hines is a vice president for academic high schools at the United Federation of Teachers, secretary treasurer of the New York City Central Labor Council, and the chair of the New York Union Child Care Coalition. Assemblyman Hevesi represents Queens' 28th Assembly District in the New York State Assembly, a position he has held since 2005. Among his other positions, he is the chair of the Assembly Standing Committee on Children and Families. Thanks to both of you for joining us for this conversation. Maybe we should just start with the state of childcare in the United States and in the state of New York and in the city of New York. This is one issue that the United States has traditionally lagged behind other wealthy countries in providing. Most other wealthy countries in the world provide affordable or even free publicly provided childcare to their citizens. And that has not been the case in the United States. And both historically and contemporarily, that seems like it has created a fairly dire situation for many families, especially poor and working class families. So could we start just with that sort of lay of the land about what is going on in terms of childcare provision in the United States right now?
So thanks first, Micah, for having me on. The answer to the question is that we do have a patchwork system in the United States, and it is heavily dependent on what state you're in when you start asking about the availability of affordable childcare, particularly for working men and women. So a little bit of a backdrop. The federal government has been helpful, in particular over the last 2 years after the COVID pandemic. So from my understanding, particularly in New York State, our childcare providers came under great stress with the COVID pandemic because our kids were not showing up to their for childcare. And one of the problems with the system, and there are many across the country and certainly in the state as well, but one of the problems was we were basing our payment of providers on attendance. And once the attendance drops significantly through COVID, we had a real significant problem with keeping our child care providers whole and open. Now, I want to give credit to the Biden administration, came in with a lot of money, federal funds that helped to stabilize the child care workforce and also the providers. But we still do have a patchwork system. And in New York State, what we've done recently over the last 2 years with the new governor was make the largest single investment in New York State history, which was $7 billion over 4 years of state money, which allowed us to do a variety of things that you couldn't do with the federal funds. So we have our work cut out for us, but that's sort of the lay of the land of where we are with childcare.
I would just add that on average, New Yorkers are paying $1,760 a month for childcare. if we were to think about what people's family budgets look like and the average income of New Yorkers, we know that that is a substantial chunk of money that's going toward taking care of your most precious family members. And so we have been advocating as members of unions in partnership with our friends in the legislature to try to figure out how to really support employees who are not at the lowest incomes, and certainly not employees who are incredibly wealthy, but those right above the poverty line, to get them the support that they need and to facilitate the enrollment in childcare programs that will give them subsidies so that they can ensure that their children are safe while they're at work.
Can you talk about the landscape in New York City in particular? This program, I believe, is focused on New York City. There has been quite a bit of headlines in recent years about the Adams administration and cuts that have come to childcare that was established by the previous mayor, Bill de Blasio. Some very, very dire headline in Bloomberg last year that read Eric Adams is starving New York City's universal pre-K program. There's similar reporting that came out in Politico earlier this month about this being a major issue. The challenges to the mayor are bringing up because the city level program has been starved of funds. So the city level program seems to be in somewhat dire straits. How is it that this program, the facilitated enrollment program, interacts with or picks up the slack of where childcare programs maybe are not fully providing for New Yorkers at this moment?
Universal pre-K and 3K allowed for very, very young New Yorkers to get into school and to start to socialize with other young people, to develop their ability to learn their alphabet and to play and to behave like students in this public school system. And so that cost was taken away from so many families across the city. However, we know that people's work schedules don't mirror the school schedule. And so there's still a need for after school care, still a need for care sometimes before school, making sure that students are able to get to school. And so cutting 3K and pre-K was incredibly devastating. The prospect of that is devastating to families and communities all over the city. Facilitated enrollment, the program that we're going to talk about in a little more depth today, allows for all kinds of care to take place, whether it's formal care in a childcare center or informal care being done by a family member, a family daycare provider who may be a member of the United Federation of Teachers, or someone who's doing that work in the community or in the building where people live, and allowing for the application process to be done smoothly, allowing members of unions to be assisted through that process so that they can get the vouchers that they need in order to subsidize some of that cost that we've been talking about. And it's been instrumental for so many of our members in many of the unions that allow our city to run, right? Whether we're talking about members of TWU, who are our bus drivers and our train operators, or we're talking about paraprofessionals with the United Federation of Teachers, or retail workers with RWDSU, all of these people are instrumental to making sure that our city runs and operates, and they're able to do that because they know that their children are safe and being taken care of.
So I want to agree with Janella and then jump off from that point. So if you're looking at the backdrop of childcare in the city, the de Blasio administration, which I had numerous disagreements with, made great strides with UPK and 3K. They're transformational. And it's not just that they're good policy. What they're doing is helping to prepare kids for when they get to the lowest grades. So there is a knock on childcare providers that they're just babysitting, and nothing could be further from from the truth. They are educators, and it's sorely needed. As to the decision by the current mayor of the city of New York to cut those programs, I think Janella called it devastating. I not only agree, I think it's bad government. It's bad public policy. Now, I understand the mayor has been running into some headwinds with additional costs for the migrant crisis, which we in the state are looking to assist him with this budget and the state budget with $2.4 billion in assistance. But I'm of the opinion that no matter what financial hardships you're facing, it is a clear indication if you start cutting funds for the youngest kids that you are a mayor or an executive that is not prioritizing the future after you are done being the mayor. And that is a red flag for me. I've seen that with other executives in the past. The former governor was not interested in what was going to happen to New York State after he stopped being governor. And so I think it's a really terrible policy choice. It's really going to hurt a lot of kids and families in the most need. Now, separate from that, the facilitated enrollment program gets money from New York State. So we are able to continue to provide services for mostly union households with this great program, regardless of the decisions that are made in the city of New York. And we will continue to keep that commitment because we understand that, first of all, just from an economic perspective, if you want your economy to do well, you need your union workforce at work and others. It is one of the best economic drivers anywhere. The business community is starting to come around to that as well. But this particular program, the facilitated enrollment program, for a variety of reasons, does things that I think the regular state program cannot. So we need to invest in it this year and keep it going for our hardworking men and women and their families.
Assembly member, I see you were just talking about some of the details of the program. I wonder if you all could go into that now. And what does this program look like? We were talking for a minute ago about pre-K and 3K, which is about childcare for particularly young children. But we believe this program goes up to age 13. And you also mentioned that this covers a lot of union members' families. Can you talk about that union angle to the program?
So I think it's absolutely crucial for union families to be able to go back to work that we continue this program, and we're looking to expand it. The ask for this year's state budget is an additional $5 million for New York City-based scholarship program. And then there's an additional ask for $5 million for those who live outside of the city of New York. So we need to continue to push for those because without this program, you're going to be, say, hypothetically, this is not going to happen. So I don't want anybody to get a false impression. But if hypothetically this program didn't exist, that's hundreds of people who are dropped out of the workforce, which is exactly what you don't want when you're trying to rebound from COVID. So the need for this particular program is crucially important to keep our union members working, which is exactly where we need them to be.
And the way the program works is rather than a family member having to navigate a system that could be, with its bureaucracy, pretty overwhelming to a working person who doesn't really understand where all of the sources of funding come from and all of the documents that need to be reviewed, the people in our program are able to support those working people through these childcare fairs and go through all of the documents that are necessary for acceptance in the program. So whether those are pay stubs or proof of residency, proof of parenting of the young people that are in your family, all of that information is then submitted in an application through one application for the voucher. The facilitation is what allows this system to move very smoothly for our mostly union members who are part of the program. And so, you know that in this system, we have so many different opportunities that exist around the city, and it could be incredibly overwhelming. And many people, especially those of us working in unions, don't expect to get this kind of support from the government. And so in our unions, we are promoting this program. We are letting people know you can come to this space on this date at this time, bring your documentation, and we're going to help you get the voucher that you need so that you can subsidize your childcare payment to your mother-in-law or to the childcare center that's down the block to make sure that you're able to keep your income at a level that keeps your family well-fed and under a roof and well taken care of.
And if I could piggyback on that, Janella hit it right on the head with the importance of this program. It's the facilitation of that enrollment right in the name, which is crucially important. And it can be overwhelming for parents trying to get access to subsidies, whether through the city or through the state subsidy system. But having this additional assistance to get into the facilitated enrollment program is really what sets it apart. And when you're talking about, and we can show how beneficial that is, because when you're talking about, say, the state system, the number of eligible families that are actually taking advantage of the subsidies is incredibly low. So even over the last couple of years, we have increased the number of childcare slots and made, I think, somewhere between 300,000 and 400,000 children new children available to achieve those subsidies. Yet the acceptance rates of those subsidies is incredibly low. Part of that problem is the lack of assistance in enrollment, which this program does so well.
Janella, I wonder if you could talk about why unions like your own, the United Federation of Teachers, and the other unions that are part of the coalition that push for this, why you all decided to champion this. I mean, maybe it's an obvious question. Beyond the fact that there's clearly a dire need for childcare, were you hearing from your members that this was a big issue of theirs that was causing them significant financial hardship and made it difficult for them to be at work? Or what were you hearing from your members about the need for childcare?
Well, this program has been around for about 20 years, and it is the brainchild of a group of visionary leaders led by Debbie King, who was a leader in SEIU 1199 for many years. And what Debbie thought about was the ways in which labor and elected officials could come together to provide this kind of service for working people. A lot of times when we think about childcare, we think about this as women's work, and we think about the responsibility that women have to take on to make sure that their children are safe, well-educated, secure. But Debbie really taught us to reframe how we think about childcare. It's a working people's issue. And it's an issue that we really should be working to degender. I'm making up that word, but if we could take this away and decouple childcare from gender and think about childcare as a benefit for working people, a necessity for working people in a safe society, then we as working people in coming together and thinking about who we are in our labor unions must advocate for this. And so, you know, we started off as a really, really small pilot in a few communities and zip codes around the city. And we've expanded to several places around the state. There's still much more work to be done. And if we could, we'd love to get this expanded to the entire state, because we believe that this kind of investment benefits everyone. It's unlike anything else that exists across the country. New York State is leading in this initiative, but that leadership could definitely be expanded through a program that can support working people statewide. And that's ultimately what we'd like to see.
Yeah, Assemblymember Hevesi, that sort of leads me to ask what you think about the prospects of a program like this being expanded, you know, at the state level where you work, are certainly given the need for affordable childcare nationwide, what the prospects are for sort of expanding this model across the state and across the country.
So my instinct is, well, I'll talk specifically about New York State. So the prospect, I think, is good, and I'll tell you why. So I mentioned before that 2 years ago, we did the largest single investment in childcare and in kids in New York State history. That is a result of having a Speaker of the Assembly who is a Democrat, a majority leader of the Senate who's a Democrat. And finally, we've had Democrats in the governor's chamber, but the last Democrat, Governor Cuomo, frankly, did more damage to the childcare system than he assisted. But now you have a new governor, and that new governor has shown not only with the first single investment her commitment to childcare, but last year we even added a number of pieces to the childcare system. Last year we invested $500 million in a recruitment and retention grant to make sure that our workforce, and I think Janella touched on this, and by the way, I love the word degender, but the reality is that workforce, which is primarily made up of women of color, is not been paid adequately ever. And they are right now at the 96th, if you have out of 100, they are 96th, which is the lowest, almost the lowest paid professionals in the state of New York, their poverty wages, which is an absolute outrage. So we are going to be looking to put money again this year into the assembly budget for the larger program, which means you got to pay that particular workforce. But we're also going to be looking to put money into this facilitated enrollment program because, one, we prize our working men and women. We understand that New York State is a labor state. We are pro-union, and any legislator who disagrees with that will be overruled by the vast majority of us in Albany who are willing to go and fight for our working men and women. And we've had a lot of success in the childcare arena in the last couple of years. So that was a very long answer to your very simple question, but I think the prospects are very good.
To zoom out for a minute, we've been talking about the specifics of this program, what it does in New York. But, you know, whenever I think about this issue, I just, to me, the fact that we live in a society that often claims to prioritize the needs of families, you know, family values is always something that elected officials, no one could ever run against family values, right? Everybody believes in family values in this society. This is central to how we conceive of ourselves, is believing that we support families. But, you know, this is one of the issues that is the most stark of the sort of professed commitment to supporting families is not matched by public investment in families. And in this case, it's not even just, you know, invest in parents out of the goodness of your heart. It's like invest in parents so that they can go to work, so that they can be productive workers for the state of New York. You know, this is not, it's an issue that I think it has been such a cause of financial stress and, you know, emotional and personal stress for so many families for so long. And yet, you know, aside from very noble efforts to change that, like the facilitated enrollment program, you know, on the whole, there's still all of these holes in the American childcare system. And so, you know, you all are very hard at work to try to implement programs like this, but I wonder if you'd take a step back and look at the system that we've all inherited and sort of tear your hair out at how badly it's failing so many people in this country.
It's incredibly frustrating when you lay it out like that, Micah, right? And when we think about how integral the safety and security and early education of our youngest family members is to our well-being, right? But as a society, we generally don't speak about what needs to happen in order to, A, get families back to work, right? Because we don't live in a society that allows people to enjoy parental leave for a meaningful length of time. If we were in a place where folks had paid parental leave for a year, we might have a very different conversation about what childcare looks like. But in so many of our workplaces, we have union members who are running back to work 6 months after they give birth, or maybe in two parents working in that space, they're able to stretch it out to 12 weeks. Did I say 6 months? Because that I misspoke. I meant 6 weeks after they give birth. And if they have to rush back and they're able to extend it, then they're going to 12 weeks after giving birth. That's not enough, right? And so we have these tiny tots that are going to end up socializing in spaces, but it's not discussed at all for how we as a society are going to care for the newest members of our society. We don't talk about the fact that it is a struggle to go down to one income for whatever length of time that will be. We don't talk about the fact that some people don't stay out on leave to bond with their child as long as they could, because they need to earn income. We haven't even talked about the impact of adoption or foster care, right? And family members who are welcoming children in many different ways into their families, and how we as a society really could be doing better to support families. If we really did honor family values, we'd really be thinking about how to support pre-birth, during maternity, after birth, when we're talking about infancy and toddler stages, and then that transition to school. And so it's important for us to continue to engage in that conversation and to keep on pushing to get this coupled with our conversation about the needs of working people.
So I absolutely agree. I think the general problem is we are continuing to make parents deal with the horrible choice of you want to go to work or you want to care for your kids. And it's a binary choice. We're not giving them the opportunity to do both in a way that is sustainable. And that's a terrible choice because either way, you're losing. You're losing time with that kid. You're losing socialization with that kid, or you're missing out on work. And I will tell you something else that has really hit home for me in New York State, which is childcare. Among other programs like pre-K, but particularly facilitated enrollment and childcare, are a way to prevent childhood trauma. And I want to touch on that for a little bit, because I think we are in modern society mass producing childhood trauma, adverse childhood experiences, whether it's abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, you can go down the list. But when kids are having that trouble early on in life, because they don't have the one thing you need to stop trauma, which is the guidance and relationship with a caring adult, which you get through facilitated enrollment and you get through childcare, that you are mass producing kids that are exponentially more likely to have trouble later in life. They're exponentially more likely to fall out of school, get in trouble with the criminal justice system, or their families in the child welfare system. So for me, it is a great preventative measure to stop some of the societal ills that you see when we open up the newspapers every day, terrible stories of terrible things happened. I believe that if you get to these kids early enough and you assist their parents to go to work and help those kids to be socialized and avoid those adverse childhood experiences, that's how you save society, you know, prospectively. But again, we've got to stop this false choice. Do you want to take care of kids or do you want to work? That is a terrible thing for us in the United States to be doing. Now, if I can, Micah, just jump to the federal level for 1 second. Getting anything done of real substance at the federal level these days is very difficult. Now, I've been an elected official for 20 years, and I operate in a state that we have control of the branches of government by Democrats. And even among us, it's difficult to get agreement. But when you go to Washington, there are people who just do not believe in government, do not believe in providing care. And I know you're right. You started by saying that they profess family values. Yeah, that's what they say. And then they go and vote against almost everything that will help work families and kids. So there's a real disconnect there. But I want to give credit to the Biden administration, who've taken some executive actions because they couldn't get things through the legislature, including helping our child care providers not have to pay for kids who don't show up or in attendance, also providing assistance to parents for co-payments when they get their subsidies. So the Biden administration has done a very good job through executive action trying to assist us with this general problem of caring for our kids, but their hands are tied in such a way that I believe the biggest things that the federal government could do for us are off the table, which is why it falls to the states and it falls to us to make sure that programs like facilitated enrollment get fully funded as a baseline and then increase once we see how well they are providing for our kids.
So to end that conversation, I wonder if you could each just tell us what is on the immediate horizon for the facilitated enrollment program.
So if I can, right now we are in the process of negotiating the state budget. The governor came out with her proposal and we have just released, as a matter of fact, yesterday I voted on the Assembly One House proposal and the Senate One House proposal as it relates to facilitated enrollment. So I have good news on behalf of the New York State Senate. They added the asks, the $5 million for the facilitated enrollment program into their One House budget. The Assembly did not, but that does not mean that between now and the next 2 weeks when the budget is done, that we don't get that extra money. We will be continuing to fight for it. The Assembly, I will tell you, did commit hundreds of millions of dollars to childcare. I need to get them to refocus to give some of that money to the great gem of the childcare system, the facilitated enrollment program. But they've done that in years past. Even prior to my being appointed Children and Families Chair, the Assembly has been always there to provide for the facilitated enrollment program. And I believe that that will be happening soon. And hopefully we can get those additions to expand the program within the next couple of weeks before the April 1st deadline.
And as we approach the deadline, we are As union members and activists, we are reaching out to our assembly members and our senators. We're asking for their support. Our unions are making this part of our legislative asks so that we can make sure that this stays front and center on everyone's list of to-do items for this session.
Great. Thank you so much to both of you. We really packed a lot. Issues like those raised in today's podcast are taken up in classroom discussions at the CUNY School of Labor and Urban Studies, where our faculty and student body grapple with the challenges confronting labor and working class communities. To learn more about the school, visit slu.cuny.edu. To listen to more of the podcast, go to slu.cuny.edu/podcast. And to subscribe to New Labor Forum or sign up for our free monthly newsletter, visit newlaborforum.cuny.edu.